So, Jonathan, you've been happily married for how many years now?
Almost 27.
27 years, and have a wonderful wife, Shannon. What was your first impression of her?
Oh, my first impression of her. So we met at Tony Roma's, a place for ribs.
Tony Roma's, yeah.
She was a server. I was a busboy.
Okay.
She told me and her mom and pretty much everybody the first day that I met her that she was going to marry me, which caused my first impression of her to be like, what?
Hold on a second. Go back. She said she wanted to marry
so
you.
So the day you met, she went home and told her mom, I just met the guy I'm going to marry.
Wow.
Then came to work the next night. I didn't even know her name yet. Came to work the next night, told everybody pretty much that she was going to marry me. I thought she was wild.
Gosh, like, you are so good.
I thought she was
That's incredible. You know, Jonathan Almanzar, women want him and men want to be him.
Yeah, exactly. So I thought she was wild and kind of crazy. That was my first impression of her. And so I thought for whatever reason, I finally decided to ask her on a date nervously, you know, because not nervous because I didn't know if she would say yes, but nervous because like, I don't want to lead her on, you know? So I invited her to church, which was weird. And so then she's like asking people, where do I get clothes for church and that kind of stuff. So yeah, that my first impression of her was, she might be crazy.
And that litmus test was, can she handle church?
Right.
Yeah. What's her reaction to church going to
be? Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. That's hilarious. Yeah. That's great.
How about you?
So first reaction to my wife, Lane, I mean, thought she was beautiful, thought she was fun, like, and funny, and always had a smile on her face. I remember the first time I walked up to her. And she was with a group of people, and I said, "Hey, Lane," and I had been kind of had my eye on her for a while, so I was kind of nervous. And she said, "Hi, Ben." And you know, if you know me, my name's not Ben.
Correct.
Right. My name is
Brad.
Brad. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
but you are wearing a shirt that says Ben right now. Did you realize that?
I am. No, I'm not. What does it say?
Ben Sherman.
I don't know what that is. What's
it's
Ben
golf,
Sherman?
It's a golf thing.
It's a golf brand.
Yeah.
Okay. Self-fulfilling.
That's right.
All these years later, she was right. She was right. So that was like my first impression was like, ooh, a little hard to get, right? So then the next moment in my memory is we were all at, this is in college, we were at a student conference. There was, I don't know, 100 people, you know, in this hotel ballroom. And I played a little part in the conference where I got to like introduce new people that were there. So I was up front going around asking people to stand up, and I would ask them, give us your name. And then I would ask them some dumb question, like what's your favorite movie, or, you know, just something fun just to kind of get the banter going, or what's your favorite food. And I remember I got to Lane, and so I'm a little nervous, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's playing hard to get, right? So I go, okay, why don't you tell us your name and your favorite sound?
What?
I asked, like, I picked an out of the box, ridiculous question.
Yes, okay.
You know, like just a stupid question. You know, what's your name and your favorite sound? And do you know what my wife said?
Her favorite sound? Your voice.
She said, the sound of your voice.
Really?
She did. No lie. And I go beet red in front of 100 people.
Yeah.
Everybody's going, oh, you know, everybody's hooting and hollering. And like, that was like, What I love about her is like the humor, you know, it's the quick, it's fun. And so that was my first impression, a little hard to get, but super fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's a great story.
So let's keep talking about first impressions, because I think you've got an idea to help people with first impressions. So give us the problem and solution.
Okay. Well, you know, the old saying, you never have a second chance to make a first impression.
Yeah.
Well, now you do. That's
love it.
That's the basis.
Now
of
you
idea.
Do. Okay.
It is offering a service for salespeople, customer service, any kind of place where first impressions are going to be really important.
Yeah.
It's offering them a service where we can get an honest and accurate reading of their first impression, and not like any type of bias inside of this at all. So that when, because the problem with like offering a service where people are going to get a first impression if I was giving a first impression of you and I knew I was going to be rating you on a first impression, I'm going into that with some preconceived ideas, notions. I'm looking for certain things. Oh, this bothered me. Ooh, this he should have changed.
Correct. It's
so I'm
not
reading into it.
Yeah, there's too many factors at play.
But this service creates an environment where people don't know they're going to be rating somebody on a first impression. They're in an environment with people that don't know they're getting rated on a first impression.
Oh.
And so it's just an actual reading or measure of how well people come off with their first impression. And you could set it up for all kinds of different like you could say
different scenarios.
Well, yeah, and different people groups too. Yeah. Like how's my first impression with women? How's my first impression with men over 50? How's my first impression with people who speak English as a second language? All of these different scenarios you could create. And so that's the idea.
So I have so many questions about how this works. Have you really thought this through?
Yeah.
How it works? Okay, great. So my gut reaction is a positive one because I think if you can pull this off, like this is brilliant.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think companies would be sending employees through this process at scale because of all the customer service industries where if you could just get data as an employer on how your company team members are coming off to others, to have that data would be priceless.
Right.
Especially in certain industries.
Yes.
So I really like it. I just got a bunch of questions about how it works. Can we just go into like the nuts and bolts a little bit?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm not surprised to hear that the people rating don't know what they're rating or what they don't have a context for that. I'm a little surprised to hear that there's a way to do this for the subject to not have a category for what's happening. So like take us through how does this actually work?
Okay. So let's say a sales manager from I don't know, AutoNation wants to take their salespeople through this. So they would contact our company. We would set up an event that their salespeople are going to. It could be like some sort of party that they're celebrating a certain number of sales. Maybe it's a workshop that they're going to. And so they're going through this workshop, but there's some moments inside of this workshop where people get together and they're going to have to cross paths and that kind of stuff. And you break them up. So they're not all just talking to the sitting in little groups and talking to people,
correct,
but you kind of mix them up. So they think that they're at a workshop, sales event, anything like that.
Yeah.
The other group of people we've hired off of like day labor, we go to Manpower, something like that. We hire them. We give them specific instructions. Like we need you to, you're going to this workshop event. We need you to collect 10 names, date of birth, like just whatever it is, just give them some stuff that they get. They go into this situation, they cross paths, they meet one another. Then when they come out, we go through an interview process with the people that we hired from Manpower, and we're asking specific questions. This guy, have a picture of him. What did you think about him when you met him?
Did you even remember him?
Do you remember him? Yeah. Was he? And then they might be like, he blew me off. You know, like I didn't even really get to, I didn't like him at all. This guy, loved this guy. This is why, you know, all of those kinds of things. So then we take that information and we come back and we present it to the sales team at AutoNation. And then we can, you know, get into coaching and how they could improve and what they did wrong and blind, open them up to blind spots.
Yeah. I'll get trying to wrap my head around like the event that you're throwing for the company, because, you know, if you work for AutoNation, you know, you got to know what are these people, who are these other people at this event?
So maybe it's like a workshop though. Like you're saying we're going to like some sort of, you know, sales workshop or something. So they think that they're going to be at a workshop, but they're actually seeing these people.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. And then I'm even thinking like some of the instructions you give the workforce, you know, that's going to be showing up. Is it, hey, go get to meet people? Like, so, because you need people to be, pushed to socialize, to socialize, because a lot of people go to these work things and, you know, they're like, I'm going to do the bare minimum. But no, you want people to actually lean in and get to know other people. So I like that. And collect information, or, you know, your job is to get to know everybody in this room.
Right.
You know,
And I think a car dealership is a poor way, a poor like example, because with a car dealership, we could just hire those people from Manpower, send them in to go buy a car and not really buy the car. And then they could come back out and rate it. But I'm thinking of more of like even consultants, you know, you go to a firm and their group of consultants, you want to see what do they, how is their first impression, or maybe corporate purchasing or different places like that. But just anywhere where you want to figure out what is your first impression that you give off, your group of people's first impression.
We talk about psychology for a second, because
sure.
your one of your bold moves in this play is that the people who are going to be rating don't have a context for why they're there yet until the very end. But we all know like secret shopper mm-hmm. is a thing, you know,
right.
like going in and rating an experience. Why is it better to not have context?
Because that's how a first impression is really made.
Yeah, talk about that.
Otherwise, you're going in and you have your list of what you think a person should do to meet your expectations. And so, he didn't do that. But we don't really know what it is that attracts us to other people. We really don't know that. And like we think we do, like talking about our spouses. If somebody says, what's your type, you know, 26 years ago, I might not have ever described Shannon, but
correct.
She is exactly my type.
Yeah.
But I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I'm still discovering things. And I think people, if they go in with a preloaded conception of what somebody needs to do or bars they need to hit, it isn't an accurate representation of a first impression.
Because there's every relationship, there's mystery
mm-hmm.
and there's something mystical.
Yeah.
Rather about connections and about impressions and about relationships. And if you walk in with too much knowledge or information, it's going to make it too much of a science.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Right. So that's a good answer to it. So I gave you kind of my gut reaction. I asked a couple nuts and bolts question. When we take this through the idea exploder, after we do gut reaction, we like to talk about yeah, buts. And mm-hmm. so what are some of the areas of friction you see with this idea working or taking off?
I think coming up with the scenarios that we place people in would be really important. Like that would take some time to think through.
Correct.
But I think if you get those nailed down, you know, like what is it going to be? It could even be you're putting them in an escape room with other people from other areas.
Yeah.
You know, like putting all these different people. So AutoNation says we're going to have a field day, but we want to mix it up. We don't want you guys working in one team. We're putting you in with a bunch of other people and you're doing an escape room. Like it could be any kind of situation where people have to interact.
Yeah.
So that is one thing that I think would be really difficult.
That's got to be executed well.
The right questions to ask at the end of the interview is going to be really important too. So we can get the correct information from our raters, and then giving them something to look for that's going to make them want to meet people or interact with people.
Yeah. My only question, it's not even a yeah, but it's a question of, does anything like this exist right now? I mean, I know professional development coaches work with companies on hospitality, on customer service, first impressions,
mm-hmm.
But I personally haven't seen anything like this yet. Do you know, is there anything even similar? Who's attempting this? How are they doing at it? What's the problem with what they're doing? Why is this better?
So I looked for a little bit for some different first impression things, and most of them have to do with, like, I'm an expert on first impressions. I go in and I meet your staff, then I tell you what I thought of them.
Yeah.
And
okay.
But still that's from a biased perspective.
Correct.
And this would be from an unbiased perspective. And you could even direct it to any subgroup, subgenre you want of people. You know, you could say, well, we work with a lot of single moms, or we know we're failing with single moms. Is it because of first impressions? And we could create that environment to put them in a place with them.
That's good. I think this could be a TV show.
Oh yeah.
Too.
Oh yeah. I didn't even think
right?
about that.
Right. I mean, like I know like the kind of the social experiment shows are starting to happen.
Yeah.
Nathan For You.
Yeah.
Have you seen that one?
Oh yeah.
I've right. seen it. So it's, you know, it's creating these scenarios and it involves coaching people in scenarios. I mean, this would be a very entertaining show where you would, you know, put video cameras and mics on the work, you know, the workers, you know, who are showing up, the workforce, and getting people's kind of gut reactions to their impressions. I think that's entertaining.
Yeah. Even like an undercover boss, almost.
Yeah. It's like undercover boss.
Yeah.
So this is a good idea. You could do that with it if this works.
I didn't even think of that, but I do like that idea. That
it's just a kind of reality show that people would watch.
Yeah.
You know,
especially if you're putting them in really good scenarios.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. You're right. Yeah. First impression shows. I feel like there's been some dating shows, you know, mix and match and pairing people up. But this is something that could be, you know, on the same channel as Shark Tank.
Yeah.
For instance.
Yeah. And be helpful. It could be really helpful to an organization for us as individuals, for me to find out like where are my blind spots in first impressions, because we all think we know how we're doing when we're making a first impression, but we don't really know.
So we're getting into kind of business model next, mm-hmm. as the next category. Does this service stop at the self-revelation? Does it move past that from self-awareness to here's what you do about it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's got to do that as well. You know, the big X factor of this is how the self-awareness comes about.
Right.
Which is one part of moving forward. You have to know, where are my holes? So any thoughts on
I think
where
definitely,
this goes beyond that?
Yeah, I think that if – so AutoNation again hires us, brings us in. We do this assessment. We give them their ratings with all the different people we have. Then we could go any number of ways, like where we just have, here's how you could fix it, or here's tailored recommendations and coaching plan for each of your individual salespeople that we present to the sales manager, or we come in and we do training on each individual person or on the group. Like maybe the group as a whole has a blind spot, and we come in and do some sensitivity training there or whatever it is. And so I think that ongoing coaching and training for sure would be a part of
the
secondary part.
Yeah. It sounds like it's honestly a fairly large company though, that has to be able to pull this off. When you start getting into events and you start bringing in third party workforce into the occasion, this isn't just your standard professional development coach who's going to be pulling this off. This is a company.
I think it's
not a practice. This is a business.
I think it's a business, yes, but I think it could be a business that a coach or a consultant and an event coordinator,
okay.
the two of them combined, could put something on and create a business synergy.
You kind of
synergy.
Need that. You need both.
You need the event coordinator and you need the coach or consultant, because they're the ones that are going to be doing the training and teaching, and the event coordinator is the one that's going to be putting together.
Who of those do you think leads with creative in this type of thing?
I would think the event coordinator would lead with the creative side of it. The
creating the scenarios that are going to...
Well, I think that would be collaboration between the two.
Okay. Yeah. So there's co-creation between... But you do need... You're going to need a creative coach and a creative event planner, you know, because this is... This gets into reverse engineering human psychology. I mean, it's
if you wanted to keep it simple, you could even every single job besides those two could be temp people. Even your interviewer, your exit interviewer that's asking the questions could be a temp person. And maybe even in asking those questions, there's like they're giving maybe you interview both groups.
Yeah.
You interview the AutoNation guys on the exit too. And there's another level of, okay, this is my first impression as an interviewer with those AutoNation people. Like it could be.
So you run Chicken Cone. So this is actually you customer service is a big part of what makes the experience work. So you're actually a good test for this, right? So, I mean, let's talk about business model for a second and prices. Like what is Chicken Cone paying for this?
Well, like individual Chicken Cones, because our
franchise model.
Yeah, our franchisees and their employees are typically, you know, $15 to $20 an hour employees. They're probably not going to be willing to spend a ton, like $1,500 maybe.
Okay.
But I think for a larger organization, I mean, for a sales force, I mean, $20,000, I think $25,000 for the event.
Yeah.
And then the coaching after that, I think is something.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Doable. Great. Great. Any other,
names?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Names. Let's talk about names. What do you got?
Hit me. This was difficult for me to come up with a name for. Like, I love the tagline. You never get a second chance to make a first impression. Well, now you do.
Yeah.
Just met.
It's a dating. That's a dating site. That's Charm. A dating service. Charms dating.
I know. That's my problem.
Love.
I can't think of anything that isn't some sort of dating aspect.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like dating. That's a dating site. That's a good name for a dating site.
Likeable.
Yeah. That's a really good name. Because there's a difference between like and love.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And like taking that and running with it.
Yeah.
We should think on that.
Likeable.
I feel like impression needs to be in there. First impression. Something's got to be in the name that speaks to impression.
Or just impress. Yeah.
Impress. I wonder if this is more of a service that a professional development company, like a product that a professional development company that does other things like trainings and workshops and executive coaching, they offer this particular product.
Right.
Right. Whereas the brand maybe is more aligned.
First impressions, something like that.
Or the brand is just more aligned with the company. So that's good. Have we exhausted all the categories at this point?
Yeah.
I think so.
It's just a rating scale.
Okay, go ahead. Give me a rating scale. What do you got?
Between showing up completely trashed to your brand new girlfriend's parents' house.
Yeah. Okay.
To meet them for the first time.
Yeah.
But accidentally trashed, I'm going to say. Like,
accidentally trashed.
Yeah.
And the difference in your mind
is
why this matters?
Just because I think it would be even more embarrassing than like if you went out and got drunk. Because if you're going to get just totally trashed, high, whatever, before you meet your parents, your future possible in-laws, then you're the kind of person that's not really going to bother you as much.
Correct.
But if like you thought you were getting allergies and so you wanted to stop your runny nose, so you took a bunch of allergy pills, but they were something else,
took
and now you're
much.
All dope. Or it was like...
Or you just had one too many at the bar. Yeah. Beforehand. Okay. So that
accidentally trashed, slurring, really embarrassing.
Correct.
Walk up to meet them. Or
Jonathan, wait, stop. Has that happened to you?
Never.
Okay. Okay. Never. Continue. All right. On the other side.
Or your future possible father-in-law is drowning in the ocean. You jump in, you save them, bring him back to earth. Back to the beach. You pump his chest out. You don't have to give him mouth to mouth because you brought one of those little things that you just stick on there. You pump him and you save his life. And that's when you're like, Mr.
My name
Kavanaugh.
My name is Jonathan Almanzar.
And I have started dating your daughter.
Ooh, that's good. That's a good one. Wow. All right. Where does this one rate for me? I feel like this idea is not the guy responsible for the saving, but maybe he's the sidekick that kind of saw what was happening and kind of joined in on it.
Right.
And maybe he doesn't
give the mouth to mouth.
I was gonna say maybe he doesn't know CPR, but maybe he was a part of the team that carried him over and is in the vicinity of the salvation.
Right.
But wasn't salvific himself.
Okay.
Because I think this...
Not the hero of the story.
He's not the hero of the story because I think because this service, I think... Here, you know, this is brilliant. This service is coming alongside other services that a company is doing. I think that's where it belongs. I think it belongs with a professional development company that is really... doing other things, but this is a brand new product for them.
Yeah.
And so in that sense, it's coming along the side to help. So that's where I would rate it. But it's a really great idea and it's fascinating. It's the kind of thing that would interest me to be a part of. I mean, I would love to be hired to go you know, hobnob schmooze with people. That would be fun. And, or being the employer that's bringing this company in to do this. It interests me because, I think first impressions are super important, and this sounds like a creative way to get at it.
Yeah. Awesome.
Great. Thanks for listening to this episode. We'd love it if you would like, rate, subscribe, and share this podcast with others. Know we've got a growing list of ideas, so we'll be back next time to share more with you. If you have an idea you'd like to share, head over to idealistpodcast.com and record your pitch right there on our site. We just may share it and pick it apart on an upcoming episode. So until next time, thanks again for joining The Idealist.